How can the stars, millions of light years away, help us date items that originated on Earth? Dr. Chris Turney, author of Bones, Rocks and Stars, has the answer.
You can look at the pyramids in Egypt on the Giza Plateau, and you can see these fantastic examples where the sides of the pyramids are actually almost perfectly aligned to geographical north, but in the past they've been too far to the west. And then the Great Pyramid, everyone knows, is almost perfectly aligned due north, and then afterwards it goes due east. You could say, well, how do they do that? And why is there this trend? Well, we're all familiar in the northern hemisphere of Polaris being in the North Pole, and all, if you've got hours on end and looking at it, the night sky, all the stars track around it. But if you went back a few thousand years to when the pyramids were being built, Polaris wasn't there. And the reason for this is something called precession of the equinox. If you've got something like a gyroscope, a children's spinning top, and you spin it, it doesn't rotate on the spot, it rotates and draws out a cone. So you can imagine the Earth does the same thing. It takes about 26,000 years. Over 26,000 years, it points to different places in space. And what you find is that actually you can track the changes across from west to east using changing positions of the stars to actually date the pyramid. So we know, for instance, that Cheops or Khufu, the Great Pyramid, was built around 2480 BC. But a great example of that is the zodiac. Precession of the equinoxes affects that as well. The dates that we all read in the newspapers were set at the Roman times, but actually, because of a precession of the equinoxes, the star signs, the constellations have been moving around. So if you went back to about 130 BC, it was Aries, which was rising at around the spring equinox, about March 21st. Now it's Pisces, a fish, and it's now going into Aquarius. So if you really want to believe star signs, look at one star sign earlier in the astrology charts.
And how useful is the historical evidence around an item as well, perhaps written evidence, things like that?
If you're thinking of sort of more historical size things, really King Arthur is one possibility on that. You can tie in some of the historical documents to actually when King Arthur, or supposedly some British leader, fought back the Saxons. You've got the extremes of Monty Python, the Holy Grail, it says 932 AD, and he declares he's defeated with the Saxons, yet historically we know that the Saxons were actually in charge at that point, or the Vikings were as well. But then you can go back to some really quite historical writings at the time. There was a mortally depressed monk called Gildas who was writing at the time. He seemed depressed about everything. And he sort of alluded to these great British leaders just 40 years before. And when you tie all those in, it does actually match the archaeology. And a lot of them refer to this big battle site, Mount Badon. And the dates are around 490 AD. And it looks like it was a time when they turned back the Saxon advance. The ancient Britons, which is now Wales and southern Scotland and southwest England, actually held back the Saxons and beat them back. And in the Thames Valley, archaeologically, we can see that the Saxon advance actually stopped for about 50 years and they're actually going back to Germany. So sometimes, when in the more recent past, you can tie in the archaeological dating with a sort of historical knowledge as well.
And how much has the technology for dating changed over the last couple of decades?
Oh, the technology's changed so much. Radiocarbon dating is a great example. After about 40,000 years tradition, you could never go back that far. That was a limit of a method. But with new technology, new advances in equipment, we can make the laboratory so clean now, and the technology is so sensitive to measuring these trace amounts of all these special atoms, that we can push back for radiocarbon another 20,000 years, so we can go back to 60,000 years. So the technology is improving all the time, and it's hard to keep up with it all, actually, sometimes.
And how important is it that we do understand these dates?
I think the important thing really is the fact that it's not just some sort of academic question. We really do want to get a handle on the future. That's the whole point. It's not just academics running around just dating things for the hell of it. And I think with examples of ice cores recording changes in climate, tree rings recording changes in climate on an annual time scale, and then other records in oceans and on land, you can get a real feel for what the climate's done in the past and what mass extinctions have happened in the past. And the important point to note on these is that often there's this feeling that, oh, if we pump up more carbon dioxide, it'll get slightly warmer. And if we add more carbon dioxide, it'll get warmer still. And what the past records show us is that that's absolute hokum. It's true up to a point, but once you pass a threshold, it goes into another stable system, which you can't bring it back very easily. So I think we have to learn from that. There's a lot more research to be done, but some of these changes in the ice core records show changes of up to 10 degrees centigrade in a year or two, and then switching back again, all within one level of carbon dioxide. And then when you go even a higher level of carbon dioxide, it goes off a Richter scale and it's hard to relate back to what it was before. So it really do give us lessons to try to learn from this and actually try and mitigate what actions we're doing at the moment.
That's Dr. Chris Turney. His book, Bones, Rocks and Stars, is published by Macmillan.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.